It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPR 1 station statewide. Friday afternoons, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we have a returning guest, Helping Hands Hawaii, nonprofit with a lot of history in the state, incorporated in 1974, and according to their website, with a mission to connect individuals, families, and organizations with essential human and material resources. Goes on to note that Helping Hands Hawaii administers numerous programs like Adopt a Family, behavioral health programs, bilingual access line, community clearinghouse, emergency assistance program, Hawaii Pathways Project, Ready to Learn, which we have featured previously on Helping Hand, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Coming up on Thursday, March 2nd, they are holding their 13th annual fundraising dinner. It's at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, and all of the proceeds raised that night will benefit their programs and services, including one, as I said, that we've heard about previously, the Ready to Learn program to help out impoverished children in the Aloha State. We learn more with our very special returning guest today, President and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii, Jan Harada. Aloha, welcome back.
Hi, and thanks for having me, Dave.
You are very welcome. It's a name, it's pretty well known to some, but give us a little bit of, as you see it, the background of Helping Hands Hawaii and how you fit into helping those in need.
Well, you know, we've been around, like you said, since 1974. We like to say we serve some of the most vulnerable in our communities. So that's everything from people struggling with poverty or homelessness. We serve adults who not only are struggling with poverty or homelessness, but add on to that, struggling with severe mental illness or addiction challenges. And then we also serve immigrants with limited English proficiency, which means language is a barrier sometimes for them to accessing necessary services and supports in the community. So those are kind of our main areas that we focus on. And by servicing, we mean not just sort of, you know, band-aiding something. So not just emergency, which we do. We provide emergency assistance. But we try to help look at how do we help them stabilize moving forward into the future so that eventually they don't need us or need folks like us in the future.
How are, just maybe from my own personal knowledge, how are you connected to the SNAP program?
So we have a contract with the state to do SNAP outreach. What that means is we help get the word out about, you know, SNAP services. We help people fill out applications. And sometimes folks are, because we focus on vulnerable populations, they're homebound or they're unable to get to the state office to get the appointment because you have to have an appointment to before you can get your application approved. Sometimes we drop off applications for people who are homebound or mobility limited, you know, because that helps them. Mm-hmm. We also will follow up sometimes when there's a delay in hearing back on an application. And a big part of what people don't realize is we also help with the maintenance piece. So it's interesting because when you're working with folks who are poor or immigrants with limited English or those who are homeless, that presents a challenge when you're talking about the yearly update that you need in order to maintain your benefit. So you moved and let's say you didn't understand that you needed to advise the state of your change of address, or if you're homeless and you don't have an address, those kinds of things present challenges for maintaining the benefit, let alone getting the benefit. So we help in that way too. We do primarily Oahu. We help out off and on when the state's short. Like for example, for a while there wasn't an outreach provider on Maui, so we were going to Maui once a week. We also help train the other SNAP outreach providers that the state contracts with on the other islands as well.
So. And that is the term food. Is that food stamps?
It was the old food stamps. Now it's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
And yes. Is that program something, is that the name for it all over the country? Forgive me for some of this. I'm just so I'd be more informed as we go forward with other things that it connects to, because I know it's an important area, very important area. So that's the name for it that the government has given it throughout the country?
Yes, it's the national used name. Yes.
Okay, SNAP. Okay, now I have a better idea, because you guys are involved, I know, in a lot of, and you mentioned it, but you're part of the Partners in Care Coalition as well?
Yes, the Oahu's Homeless Services Consortium.
And then yes. You had also mentioned you do some stuff with SNAP on the other islands, dialing back into Helping Hands Hawaii and your overall presence. You guys are a statewide organization?
We have statewide reach, but physically we're only
mostly
on Oahu, yes.
Mostly in this area. And among the ways that Helping Hands Hawaii gets funding. How does most of it come, and sort of give us a little overview of the funding apparatus?
Sure. So we are right now about a $5 million organization overall. About 48% to 50% of that is government, and that's all levels, federal, state, and county. Another 20% to 30% of that is what we call fee for service, so revenue we generate ourselves to help fund our programs and services. And then the remainder is either private donations, contributions, grants, this fundraising event. And then we own our building. So, you know, we try to, you know, look at ways to help, again, self-generating revenue as well. So.
Wow, that's impressive. And that probably takes a little bite out of the funds don't have to go towards supporting the building, I guess is what I'm thinking.
Right. Like, we don't pay rent. I mean, what happens, though, when that happens is you're as the owner, you have maintenance and you deal with roof issues and
right.
sewer issues and,
yes.
you know, like AC issues, all kinds of things. So.
No, there are lots of stuff that does, yes. you're right, that comes up on that. And before we get to this fundraiser, which is a unique way, again, Thursday, March 2nd, Hilton Hawaiian Village 13th annual fundraising dinner. But when you think of you're doing a lot of different coverage, you're helping a lot of different areas. If you were to think of who is the most vulnerable group that you're helping of all of these, because there's a lot of them, and it's not a who is more worthy of service kind of comparison. It's more just when you think of some of the groups of people who are really who have a very really tough. Deck of cards in life. Which areas would you?
I'd say that probably the highest risk, most vulnerable that we work with are the adults that we have that are suffering from severe mental illness and or addiction, and also then struggling with poverty or homelessness. It's probably the highest risk, most vulnerable we work with.
There's a huge connection with that too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Between the, you get into drugs and drugs and poverty. They just sort of lead to that. And the homeless crisis at the moment. As we go, we're in 2017, as we said, you guys are part of Partners in Care. So this is one of the organizations that's part of the coalition that's trying to assist those without a roof over their head in the Honolulu area. You see things getting worse, staying the same. It's still a huge problem, getting better. Any take on it?
I think there's... from the folks who do the work, which is will be different than public perception, because the public just sees what's, you know, reported. They don't mm-hmm. and they see what's on the street, but they don't necessarily see the background, what's going on. I think that from those service provider perspective, it's starting to get better. And better might not just be a number like how many homeless, but it might be how we're working together or how the system is doing, you know, and are we more coordinated? Are we making more efficient use of our resources? You know, have we addressed some of the previous what I like to call people barriers. So looking at how we work together better, even though we're technically maybe competing for the same funds, you know, and focusing on the needs of the consumer versus, you know, who gets the credit or who won what contract. So I think that's starting to get a little bit better. I think there's still a good road ahead. I also like the fact that it's being talked about, sometimes not always, you know, talked about in the nicest way, you know, and sometimes it's negative coverage. But I think talking is actually important, because for a while you didn't hear about
Very
it.
True.
People weren't talking about it. It was sort of this invisible problem unless you were faced with it literally, you know, right in front of your face.
Yep.
So I think the fact that it's in the conversation, that it's a priority of government at all levels and also becoming a priority for private sector, I think is really important, regardless of what people think about somebody's idea has this or somebody else has a right. different idea and whether that's a good idea or a bad idea. I think the conversation is critical, and that's a big step forward.
So we have the way that people can try to support, one of the ways, rather, that people can try to support mm-hmm. your efforts is this event. And it's the 13th annual fundraising dinner, and it's coming up at Hilton Hawaiian Village on Thursday the 2nd. Talk a little bit about the event and what will be happening that night, and we can also talk a little bit about ways people can, because there's a lot of ways people can support the event.
Right. So our event is really an opportunity to what you'll hear is a little bit of the stories of what we do and the people that we help. But really the focus is actually on the people that we're honoring. You know, we have a history of trying to honor people that don't necessarily always get recognized. So sort of like that hidden heroes concept, you know, which sometimes ironically makes it hard for us to get people to agree to be honored because we try to pick people that normally don't like to be honored, don't like to be in the limelight. That's not what they do, you know. So this year's honorees, we're really excited. We usually have one, like a community collaborator. Collaboration is a big one of our big core values.
Sure.
So we look at the sector. We look at whether it's an organization or a person that we work with through one of our programs or multiple programs that is a good collaborator, meaning they work well with us, they share resources, knowledge, we trust them, you know, they have integrity, they have some of the same value sets, and they're not about getting credit or recognition. They're just about doing what needs to be done to help the people that we're helping. So that person this year is Heather Lusk, who is the executive director of the Child Project, which is the community health outreach work project, you know. And if folks don't know CHOW, they are a small organization. They're known to be what we call harm reduction. So really the whole purpose is to, you know, look at people who are struggling with addiction, with HIV/AIDS, and looking at not just saying, hey, you just got to get well right away, but it's a process. And part of the process is about getting you to the point of recovery through, you know, looking at, can we reduce? So, okay, if you're going to use a needle, can it be a clean needle? You know, those sorts of things. Mm. So it's a different approach, you know, and it's really started to succeed. And Heather herself has done a great job of working with Homeless Services Consortium, Oahu's Partners in Care, to look at how to incorporate those lessons and those values into how we help those who are struggling with those challenges on the streets. And she's been a great partner. So we're excited to honor her this year as our community collaborator.
And what does CHOW stand for one more time?
It's the Community Health Outreach Work Project, so the CHOW Project.
Okay. So they're an independent nonprofit.
Yes. Yeah. But we're honoring her specifically. She is their executive mm-hmm. director because of how she's worked with our teams and the community. And then our second honoree is actually Rotary, the whole District 5000, which is all the Rotary clubs in the state of Hawaii, over 50. And that's our community supporter, community benefactor honoree. It's usually a person or an entity who has done a lot of volunteering, charitable works, you know, those sorts of things. And Rotary, if folks aren't familiar, has been around for 100 years in Hawaii. They just celebrated their centennial. And they have put in, across all the different clubs, thousands of hours every year to volunteering and community service projects, as well as charitable giving. And they also Rotarians serve on boards of nonprofits, helping in that way as well.
And for people who are like myself, who just don't, it's another one of these, you hear this name your whole life. What is, try to give me, like, pretend you're Wikipedia for the moment. What is the Rotary Club?
The Rotary Club is, I'm going to get tested on this because I'm a Rotarian, so I should know this. But
then I came to the right circle.
The Rotary is, you know, really an international, so it's all over and all in so many countries across the world. But really, I think the main purpose of Rotary are a few things. One is the service component. So community service is a big part of Rotary. For example, Rotary International and all the clubs across the world contribute every year to eradicating polio from the earth. And Rotary is the major partner for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in looking at, you know, eradicating polio. That's everything from giving money for the vaccinations to Rotarians actually going to the countries still affected to help give the vaccinations. That's an example of service. But Rotarians also are community in their communities, you know, repainting and refurbishing, you know, nonprofit things. Or we were just on Lanai helping retrofit the first domestic violence shelter on the island of Lanai. So those kinds of things are community service. That's a big aspect. And then another aspect is actually the networking piece. So a lot of business networks, professional networks, where you're in the Rotary Club, and let's say I have a problem with my plumbing, you know, and I need to call a plumber. You know, is there anybody in Rotary that I know that runs a plumbing business that I know, because they're a Rotarian, I should be able to trust their value set? So I know you're not going to, you know, cheat me out of your money, and you guys are going to do a good job. So I'm going to call you because you're a Rotarian. So some of that is that business networking piece as well.
Is that something? So if somebody in the public, and forgive me if this is an ignorant question. So if I'm using that as an example, if I'm like, well, I need to get something fixed, I'll call the Rotary Club first and say, I have a need to get something fixed. Do you have, like plumbing, do you have a member that does that? Is that how?
No, it's usually, not really, but I guess you could. I mean, you could look up.
You're saying you do that as an individual?
Yeah,
as
a part of the club, okay. You know, yeah, because I know those people, right? You get to know them over the course of time.
I get it.
And the other thing for me, I'm you know, I, as a young professional growing up in the community, you know, I've appreciated, because I've been in a Rotary for 5-6 years, the opportunity to interact with folks that I might not normally get to interact with, that I would learn quite a bit from, you know, especially the more senior members in our club that have lived life, you know, and that you can kind of learn quite a bit from just from being around them. So, you know, that aspect of it is really important as well, the fellowship aspect of Rotary. And then the board service component. I mean, it's, you know, it's really great to see a lot of folks in Rotary that take the time to also serve on boards and help nonprofits and community in that way as well. So, and it's a range. All sectors are represented in Rotary. So.
Yeah, it seems like it. That's cool. And it's a great description. You represented it well and answered it better than I could have expected. So folks, in terms of people who are, I want, so people will come, they'll get a chance to witness two specific components of the local philanthropic community being honored for their work, which we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. And there's also, I understand, there's some live music, there's food. Is there food?
So it's the event, the evening is structured where 5:30 is kind of the cocktail hour.
Right.
During that time, John Yamasato and Darren Leong will be playing cocktail hour entertainment, Hawaiian mm-hmm. music. They're donating their time, so we really appreciate that as well. And then the dinner and program starts at 6:30. And the program is partly the honorees, partly sharing some stories about what we do. And there's a lot of fellowship time. So dinner is served. It's a luau dinner menu that the Hilton does at the top of ballroom. It's a beautiful set menu. There is a few opportunity drawing items that people, you know, can don't make a donation and try to win.
Does that mean buffet? Is that what luau means?
No,
it doesn't mean
it's not. It's actually plated. It's
okay.
A really great thing that the Hilton does at the Tapa. Yeah.
And which one is the Tapa?
It's the one that is in the Tapa Tower. So you park in the main structure and then you got to kind of walk across to go to the Tapa Ballroom. Yeah, it's a really beautiful, beautiful ballroom.
I got a big spread over there.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track of what they got. But I'm sure it's absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other thing we're known for, because it is on a Thursday night and that people like, is that we're usually on time and we finish early.
And ending time is?
8:00 if we can help it.
Wow. Look at you. You're not kidding. That keeps it up.
Yeah. Because we realize people come and they want to support and they're interested. But we also realize that people have other things they got to get to and you don't want to be there for 5 hours necessarily. So, yeah.
That's cool. And so if someone just wanted to come by themselves or with a couple, so it'd be $250 a person mm-hmm. or $500 for a pair of people to come.
Yes.
So if you and your significant other just want to come, you can do that. Or you can explain a little bit if you'd like the other ways that people can both come with getting a table or a larger group and other ways, perhaps volunteering, donating supplies, anything else that you may need for this event that people could rally behind it?
Well, we also are looking for items that are part of our opportunity drawing. Like, for example, right now we've got a 2-night stay at Aulani that was donated, you know, by Aulani along with a $500 Disney gift card that they can use there. You know, we've got $1,200 donated by Par Pacific for gas. $1,200 worth of gas.
And this is, there's a drawing auction? How does this
work? Yeah, it's a drawing. It's a, you know, for a donation, they can, you know, potentially win. It's a lot of fun. People, and it's not big, you know, our event also is known, it's not, we're not immediately always in your face about raising money that night. We want you to relax and have a good time. So it's a very relaxed event.
But all that money helps out. Yeah. So you could both use more items for mm-hmm. this drawing. Mm-hmm. So if people want to contribute an item, somebody owns a business, somebody's got some dough,
right.
they can contribute money, item, gift certificates, whatever right. it is to that. And when people are there, in addition to buying tickets, they are buying into the drawing or whatever, which gets...
They make a donation.
Yeah. That gets them entered into the drawing.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. So those are multiple ways that people can support it. Do you need any volunteer manpower?
I think no. We're good on manpower for that evening. I mean, we need volunteers for the agency, but for the event, no. We're good.
And in general, though, people who are listening who... and there's a lot of folks, and I totally get it, that they... all kinds of crises come up in life where money is just tight and you may have who knows what legal or medical concern that's on the table that is significant and could be potentially draining who knows how much of your resources, and you're like, I just don't have dough, but I'd like to give of my time. Maybe I can't do this event, but I heard the woman say they need volunteers. You want to touch on some of that?
Sure. I mean, volunteers, I think, for any nonprofit are really critical. So we, you know, we have a number of ways people can volunteer that, and that they have. You know, one is on the program side, we have a community clearinghouse that distributes basic household necessities and family and children related items. That's everything from furniture to clothing to household goods, child care items, those sorts of things. So sometimes we need volunteer groups that come in and help donate and, or come in and help sort the items that come in and inventory. We have donors in the clearinghouse or supporters in the clearinghouse that help process applications. So what that means is we have to process applications for people to be able to be eligible to access the clearinghouse items because it's an income eligibility requirement. So we need volunteers to help with those sorts of things. Volunteers that help us with greeting donors that come in and accepting the donations, all those sorts of things in the clearinghouse in particular. Also, you know, like we always could use people who have graphics and marketing and, you know, skills that know how to do that kind of stuff because we're not big enough to afford like a whole department that all they do is sort of the marketing and graphics part of it, right? So we would love donors who have a background in that kind of thing, you know.
So what she's saying is if you're really good at using the internet, you're really good at making design stuff and you don't have a lot of dough, but you have that skill that you can donate to your time to help them with, you guys would be really appreciative.
Oh, we would love that. And then the last part is because we own our property is all the facility stuff. So, you know, again, we're not big enough as an agency to have a facilities manager, you know. So things like plumbers and
handyman
carpenters
stuff.
And handymen and, you know, lighting guys and folks who can help, you know, patch a hole in whatever, you know, those sort of things are always needed too.
A lot of ways.
Carpet layers, flooring guys, yes.
A lot of ways a building needs to be supported. And between that and supporting you at the event, supporting you just in general with some of the ways that people can plug in as volunteers at your site, it sounds like there's a lot of stuff. One thing I do want to mention, I'm going to give you contact info in a second, and maybe that answers the question. People get the tickets for this event by, they go online, they call you. What's the best way to get the tickets for the March 2nd?
The best way to get tickets, and because it's actually not hard copy tickets, is to go to our website. That's helpinghandshawaii.org, and right there on the front page will be the link to our dinner, and that's where you could, you know, then link to the electronic way to purchase, you know, seats. You could also send in a check, you know, that sort of thing. It'll give you all the instructions for how to access that.
Online.
But there's no actual hard copy ticket.
Yeah, I get you.
You just get put on a list, and then yeah.
Totally. Makes sense. That's what I was alluding to. helpinghandshawaii.org, as Jan just mentioned, is the website. That's where you can get yourself set up with reservations for the event that's coming up on March 2nd. And you can also use the email form there at their website to say, hey, I heard that you're looking for skills like design. I hear you need somebody to help with the roof around there. I hear you just need people to put in manpower hours to deal with incoming paperwork and sorting things out and sorting donations out. You can do all of that by emailing them at helpinghandshawaii.org. And you can call 536-7234 to reach them as well. I've got their contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our other Helping Hand guests and all of their information waiting for you at hawaiipublicradio.org. Things that we didn't get in that you want to cover?
I think the main thing is we always encourage people to, you know, give if they can, volunteer if they can. And it doesn't, we would love for them to do that with us, but we also know that, you know, the best way you're going to ensure that you want to do that and that you can do that is if you're passionate about the cause. So it doesn't have to be Helping Hands Hawaii. And we really like to see people who are passionate about helping whatever their cause is, you know. So we encourage people, if it's not us, that's fine. If you are like, hey, we, you know, we've talked about before, Dave, you know, one of your things is helping folks who are struggling with being blind. So, you know, if your thing is helping the blind community, go and look for opportunities to help the blind community. So I always like to encourage people to say that it's not just about Helping Hands Hawaii, it's about the greater community. And that's one of our value sets as an agency too, you know, because we realize there's so much need out there that there's not ever going to be a situation where you got too much going on, you know, and go with the whatever you're interested in. And our other thing too is a lot of times we'll get calls and maybe we can't take something, but we make sure that we connect that person then with somebody who can, because it is about that. It isn't just about, okay, we can't take it and then buy, right? We always try to make sure, you know what, it's not really something that we can use, but we know this organization could really use that, and we'll make sure that we make that connection because it's a value of ours. So we just encourage everyone to do that.
It's a great message of just give back. And I love that. That's very selfless to, you're the only one I've ever, you know, and I, it's probably on other people's minds, but they just may not realize it. But that's a really, that's a great thing. Whatever, there's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of creatures in distress. And we're all on this planet together, us, the animals. We are animals. We're just the most destructive of them. but whoever it is, and, you know, it's a great thing to give back on any level and to try to help out those in need that are in crisis. And I applaud you for having that kind of inclusiveness mm-hmm. with your message. It's a great lesson. There's a lot in that. It's the president and CEO, and that's why she's doing that role at Helping Hands Hawaii and spreading goodwill. Jan Harada. And as always, doors open. You get in touch. I put you on like this. And thanks for being there for all these people in need and for trying to just shine the light on those who don't have it so good. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.